The following is a Poppy Chulo Radio original program.
Let's go.
Get up close and personal with some of your favorite male porn stars on One-on-One with Poppy Chulo. Created by Poppy Chulo, One-on-One showcases exclusive interviews with the adult industry's most popular male performers. Here's your host, Poppy Chulo.
Welcome to One-on-One with Poppy Chulo. Today is Sunday, October 13th, 2024. Listeners, please welcome fan favorite adult star on the rise, the incredibly buzzworthy Zane Walker. Welcome to the show, man.
Hey, hi, Poppy. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure to be here. It's great to have you on, man. We were talking about this before I hit the record button, so I'm going to fill the listeners in on this. We've been talking about doing an interview for a moment, and, you know, life happens. So, you know, unfortunately, it did not happen when it was supposed to. But in a weird, universal, kismet, Freaky Friday type of situation, we were supposed to do an interview in the year 2023 on October 13th. So we're literally doing this interview a full year later. It's kind of crazy. I'm a big believer in everything's supposed to happen when it's supposed to, right? So it took us a year, man, but we're finally here, which I'm super hyped about.
Yeah, I'm happy it worked out this way. I feel, you know, I'm much more established now, and it's more so the right time. And, you know, like you said, you know, everything happens for a reason, and, you know, the universe works in mysterious ways. So I think it's kind of badass that, you know, it ended up happening on the same day a year later. But like I said, I think it just makes more sense now. We have more to talk about, and it's just the better time for it, I believe.
I feel you. It's beyond strange. This has never happened before. This is a first. I mean, it's freaky, right? Freaky Friday. It's very bizarre. But I will tell you, in the year that, you know, that we did not do the interview, as you said, you know, your star has risen. I would say you're incredibly underrated. I feel like the industry still isn't really quite ready for you. And I think that star is going to continue to rise. I mean, you have the support and the love of, you know, a good fan base. So, you know, I've seen how you interact with the fans. I've seen how the fans react to you on social media. So clearly you're doing something good, man. So props to you. And I'm sure the industry will continue to react and respond to that in a positive way.
Yeah, I just got to stay optimistic and continue putting out, you know, quality content. Feel like that's all it is. As long as you're, you know, a nice person, your content looks good, and put your best foot forward, that's, you know, it's all you could do, you know.
Absolutely. All right, so typically I like to start off these one-on-one interviews by getting some unique stats out the way. So what's your height and weight?
Okay, I'm 6'1" in height, and depending on the day, I would say like between 175 and 180 pounds.
What's your ethnic background?
I'm Persian.
What's your zodiac sign?
Do you have a guess on what my zodiac sign would be? Are you one of those?
I am not one of those, but I always ask because I feel like I have many listeners that are one of those. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. My birthday actually just passed in September, so I'm actually a Virgo.
That's what's up. Happy belated.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And how old are you?
I'm 27.
Awesome, man. All right. So let's get to know a little bit about the man behind the performer. Where are you originally from?
I am originally from Chicago. I currently live in Phoenix. And when I moved here, I would say within the year after moving here, it's kind of when the ball started rolling in adult entertainment. But originally, I'm from the Midwest.
What was a young Zane Walker like? What were you like growing up?
Oh, man. I was the kid who got bullied really bad at school. Unfortunately, growing up, I did not have much confidence in myself. My social skills weren't up to par. You know, I wore big dorky glasses, you know, total opposite, I would say, of what I am now. But, you know, I got bullied pretty bad growing up. I got good grades, which is cool and all, but, you know, not a fun time around my peers in school, I'd say.
I'm sorry to hear that, man. You know, it always sucks, you know, when the childhood sucks, but, I mean, you went from, I guess, the ugly duckling into the swan.
Yeah, if that's true, I very much appreciate it.
There you go. I mean, come on. I mean, who would have thought, I mean, if you were to go back in time and you would tell that little teenager that's getting picked on that he would be an emerging star in the porn industry, he would not believe you.
I probably would not believe it now. You know, I got inspiration from a lot of male porn stars when I was a teenager. And, you know, I thought they were super badass and I idolized what they were able to do and I inspired to be like them. But if you told me I actually pulled it off, I probably wouldn't believe you, you know?
May I ask, just as a follow-up, who did you idolize in the industry? Who are some of the performers that you look up to?
I'll give you a couple of names. I'd say Johnny Castle. I'd say Chad White, Danny Mountain. Those were probably the main three. And then from time to time, I'd say like Owen Gray and J-Mac and Johnny Sins. But primarily the three guys I would watch the most growing up that I was like, dude, these guys are fucking badass. Like, you know, they're living a video game life. I want to be like that. I'd say, you know, Chad White, Johnny Castle, Danny Mountain. Those are the guys who I see a lot in the videos I was watching growing up that, you know, I'd say were really good.
Yeah, I mean, those are elite performers in the game. I mean, now they are, you know, esteemed veterans in the business. So if you're going to look up to anyone, I mean, those three are spectacular choices.
Yeah, badass guys.
Yeah, man. Sure. Have you had a chance to meet any of them? Just out of curiosity.
I've met Johnny Castle. This was last year at an AVN party. I briefly talked to him. Super humble guy. Really cool dude. You know, when I met him, I was like, all right, it makes sense, you know? So that was cool. I haven't met Chad or Danny. I know they follow me on Twitter, which is pretty cool. But yeah, the other guy, I met J-Mac, you know, when I see these guys in person at like events and stuff, you know, I try not to, you know, fanboy over them because I'm sure they always get that all the time. So you want to like make them feel like they're a real human being. So I prefer if it's like a more of an organic, you know, conversation or interaction or for it to happen naturally. But yeah, that's my experience.
So let's talk about what was going on in your life just prior to entering the porn industry.
So I think that the job I did before porn really, you know, helped me out once I got into porn. But, you know, before porn, I was doing door-to-door sales. And I got to the point where, you know, I got really good at like the sales portion of the job. So I was training new employees how to do the job, and I was like managing sales teams and, you know, running like a marketing office. But, you know, we were selling renewable power in the Midwest, trying to get residential homes to go green, so to say. But what helped me there is, you know, I spoke to every type of person on the planet you can think of, from all different types of like diversification backgrounds, whether it's, you know, wealth, social status, you know, race, I've spoken to every human you can think of, right? So when you do that, you kind of learn how people act and react and all those types of things. So I feel like I gained a lot of confidence from that. So getting into porn, it was able to help me network and socialize and put myself out there and be confident in myself. And all those little things I was able to tie in, I feel like that's helped me develop my career thus far, so to say.
All right, man. So let's start talking about that career. In total, how long have you been in the industry?
It depends how you look at it, right? Like right now, I'm freshly 27, I started doing amateur porn when I was 23, but that was on and off, and it wasn't anything like mainstream studio. It was just like super amateur porn when 4 years ago. And a couple of years passed, and I would say this is my, what month is it? October? Yeah, I would say this is, I'm just slightly over a year in professional mainstream porn. So I'd say I'm still pretty new with, you know, mainstream. But before that, I was doing like amateur stuff and webcamming and, you know, just getting my toes wet, so to say. And just, you know, it was just kind of like a snowball effect over time. It just picked up, and I feel like right place, right time, and doing well.
Absolutely. Now, since you've had basically two firsts in the industry, let's talk about both of those first. Let's talk about the very first time many years ago doing a porn scene. And then let's talk about this first, this new first, you know, doing mainstream porn. Let's break that down a little bit. What were both of those experiences like? What was going on in your mind? Were there a little bit of nerves? Were you instantly comfortable in front of the camera? Talk to me about those two first-time experiences that you experienced.
Yeah, so when I first started with amateur porn, right, anything, you know, without another person in the room recording, like if it was just me and, you know, a civilian girl making like an amateur sex tape, those were no problem, right? You know, you're in your own element, you're comfortable, you're not nervous, there's not too much emotion going on. So that's no problem. But when I first like did amateur studio porn, oh man, I thought I was ready, but that was a difficult day. You know, I'm going to be transparent because I don't want the listeners to think, you know, we're all like Superman, you know. I'm going to be honest, my first time doing studio porn, it was a huge struggle, you know. Luckily I was able to complete the scene, but I had to take a lot of cuts because I could get myself back up, because the nerves and emotions, you know, it affected me, and I couldn't stay hard throughout the video. So we had to take a lot of cuts so I could, you know, get myself back up so we could continue filming, you know. Luckily I was able to do that, but it was pretty stressful, I'm not gonna lie. And surprisingly, and so that video, it was, you know, my first studio amateur scene. It did a couple million views, surprisingly. So, you know, I was like, if a video like that where I was struggling the whole day could do that well, I was like, imagine if I'm on porn. So, you know, fast forward, I went to professional porn a little while later, and the nerves were a lot less, and I, you know, I didn't need to take the cuts. But it's like anything, over time with experience, and once you grow some confidence in yourself, things get easier, especially when you show up prepared, you know?
You are right about that. Very true, yeah. So how did this journey come about? You had referenced, you know, as a teen, you were a fan of porn, you know, as many of us were. You idolized, you know, some performers and that kind of thing. So where did the initiative come from to like actually do porn? Like you referenced that you started off doing amateur type of stuff. Was this something that you replied to something on social media? Did you find some sort of ad somewhere? Did you apply on a website? How did you actually enter the industry?
I'm glad you asked, because I get so many messages online from guys, you know, begging me to tell them, like, how did you get involved? How do I get involved? What do I do? All this and that. So I'm glad you asked, right? I'll explain it, and I'll be super honest. When it was a couple of years ago, when I kind of just moved to Arizona, right, I met a girl, civilian girl, had nothing to do with porn or OnlyFans, nothing, just, you know, a normal hot girl I was dating. And she was, you know, I would say as freaky as I was. And I have always liked recording while I'm having sex, right? Maybe not the whole time, but, you know, if I'm hooking up with a girl and she's cool with it, which they usually are, you know, I'll take my iPhone out and, you know, take a video. And that would always get me way more aroused, I'd say, or just, you know, the adrenaline of, you know, being like, damn, I'm getting laid and I'm taking a video. Like, I don't know, whatever. It makes you feel cool, I guess. So she had always let me like record our sex. And one day we were just hanging out. I'm like, you know, I, hypothetically speaking, I'm like, how would you feel if, you know, we made a video for Pornhub? And I thought she was going to be like totally turned off by the idea. So I was just like, let me just see what she says. And she's like, well, yeah, I mean, if you want to, and it's something you want to see, you know, what comes from it and it makes you happy, you know, I'm down. And I was like, yo, that's amazing. And, you know, she's a really attractive girl. Like, she actually liked sex. So, you know, the videos we made were very real, very amateur, very unstaged. It just looked natural, you know. So she let me upload a video to Pornhub of us. And I honestly think that nothing was going to come from it. But surprisingly, after a couple of weeks, I think it had like 500,000 views on Pornhub. And I'm like, holy shit, like people actually care to watch me have sex. Like I was flabbergasted because I was like, you know, there's nothing special about me. I don't have like, it's not like I have a huge dick. Like I don't look like Brad Pitt. Like nothing really stands out about me. Like when I was thinking back, right? But I was like, maybe it's because of the girl. So I was like, hey, our first video did really well. You know, do you care if we make another one, but maybe put a little more effort into it this time? She's like, sure. Like whatever you want, if it makes you happy, sure. You know, cause again, she's like, she didn't think much of it. She didn't think anyone was going to see it because, you know, Pornhub is so saturated, you know? So we made a couple more videos. Most of them did pretty good. So I was like, you know, I should see if this can snowball into something. A couple of months go by. And I was watching a porno myself, and, you know, I never watch a video all the way through. I feel like most people are kind of the same. They'll just browse around through the video, find the parts they like, get off to the video, and then go about their day. But, you know, this one day I just watched the whole fucking video through. And at the end, it's like, if you think you're hot enough to be in one of our videos, or you think you have what it takes, send us an email. And I was like, I thought to myself, I was like, there's no way they're going to respond. They probably have a million guys, you know, reaching out to them. And I wasn't going to email, but then I remembered, I was like, well, you know, I have some videos on Pornhub that have a lot of views. Maybe that'll set me apart from the rest of the guys applying. So it's like, fuck it. You know, they probably won't respond. They probably won't even see my email, but let me shoot them an email. So I shot them an email. They ended up getting back to me. And to keep the story short and simple, that's how it all started. I started doing a little bit of amateur studio porn. Then from there, I started dabbling into OnlyFans and webcamming. And then over time, I was just, you know, with putting myself out there and networking and socializing and getting more experience under my belt, that was able to just trickle effect and trickle effect and trickle effect. And here we are now.
I got to say, man, props to you. I mean, it's a true testament to, number one, being consistent. So consistently filming new content, uploading it to Pornhub and that kind of thing. And number two, initiative. You know, you having the initiative to reach out, to include your links and that kind of stuff to see if it would get someone's attention. And clearly it did. So a hat tip to you, major props and listeners. This is a bit of a blueprint to how you can do it as well. I mean, it can be as simple as uploading your own amateur video to Pornhub. Props, man.
Me personally, you know, I think that's the best way for someone who's actually passionate and has a real interest in doing this. I think that's the best way to go about it. You know, even though Pornhub is very saturated, you know, Pornhub thrives off of amateur content, right? So if you, you know, make good amateur content, or you try to make good amateur content, even if you don't get views right away, it's a stepping stone. So I feel like if people put more effort into their own content, you know, the professional side will just end up lining up for them. But, you know, that's my perspective. Obviously, there's a lot other ways to go about it as well. But also, thank you for the props, for sure. It wasn't easy.
Yeah, man. No, I believe it. You deserve your flowers, man. So major props. Now, let's talk about your performer name.
Thank you.
You're welcome, man. Let's talk about your performer name. I don't know if you've always had the name Zane Walker. I don't know if when you started you were using the name Zane Walker. So if you want to go into any different iterations of your name, you can do that as well. But at the end of the day, you are Zane Walker right now. Where did the name come from? How'd you come up with your performer name? If you had other names, how did you come up with those names? Let's break that down.
Yeah, so Zane Walker has always been my professional stage name. I can tell you how I got it. Obviously, that's not my legal name, but growing up, a lot of girls would tell me I looked like the singer Zane, right? And because he's from a similar part of the world as I am, so I looked him up. I was like, good singer, good looking dude, has good charisma about him, and I always thought the name was cool in itself. And I wanted a name that was kind of uncommon, so I would stand out. So I was like, okay, I like that name. I'm just going to use a different spelling variation of it. And then for the last name, I was actually originally going to go with Skywalker because I thought that was badass. Not because of, Star Wars or anything like that, but there was another influencer I was following, years ago at the time that, I idolized. Right. And I thought that was a badass last name. And I thought the two would go together well. So I was actually going to go like Zane Skywalker. But the first amateur studio set I got to, the director asked me, what stage name do you use? And I told him. And he's like, Skywalker sounds too cliche because the Star Wars, just do Walker. I was like, and at that point, I was like, dude, I'm just fucking happy to be here. You can call me whatever the fuck you want. So I was like, all right, fuck it. Zane Walker is fine. And then, worked out. So I honestly am glad I went with Walker anyway, so it doesn't sound too, fake. But, everything happens for a reason, as we said. But I'm glad with what it is, and I wouldn't change it.
What do you enjoy most about starring in porn scenes?
What do I enjoy most about starring in porn scenes? What I enjoy about it is I want to give what the guys were able to give me, right? So like Chad, Johnny, Danny, those guys, when I would watch them growing up and when I would look up to them and inspire to be like them and idolize them, not just because they were having sex, but they're in shape guys, they got a good head on their shoulders, they had a lot of good qualities about them. And at the time when I had social issues, I didn't have confidence, I wasn't attractive, and I had all these things holding me back when I was younger. And when I saw them, I inspired to be like them, right? So what they were able to do for me is what I want to be able to do for, the guys growing up, right? So like if some kids in high school, they're like, we get bullied at school, we're not this, we're not that. And let's say they're watching the porn and they see me in there, they're like, okay, well, this guy has all these good things going for him. That's probably why he's able to be on a big porn set. I want to do those things to potentially put me in position, whether it's to be a porn star or whatever the fuck it is you want to do. Good qualities help you achieve what you want. So short and simple of it, I just want to be able to inspire the people watching the porn that whatever they see I'm able to do, they could also do it themselves, whether it's in this profession or anything else they have an interest in,
Very nice, man. I love that. Zane Walker is trying to be inspirational, as inspirational as his favorite performers were to him. That's pretty dope.
Yeah, because I'm like, if I could do it and there isn't anything special standing out about me, then, most other guys should be able to do it too, whether it's porn or whatever else they want to accomplish or dream to do. As long as you just take care of yourself and, put yourself in the position to be open to opportunities, anything can happen if you just manifest and, put your best foot forward and just believe in yourself,
You are absolutely right about that. Absolutely. Okay, so let me ask you this. When you are on set, when you're doing a scene, when you're at a shoot, what turns you on the most and what turns you off the most?
Let me start with turning off, because I like to be as transparent as possible. What turns me off is if I feel, the moans are fake, or let's say the girl is like overacting just, to try to sell the video better. Like if I feel like I'm fucking a girl and the moans aren't authentic, or she's just doing it just to do it, that turns me off. You know, I need it to feel real. You know, I don't like, even though it's a staged production, so to say, I like it to feel as least bit staged and as real as possible, right? So anything that, you know, isn't authentic turns me off. What turns me on is just, you know, good chemistry with the scene partner. You know, that's what I try to do. Like, before the scene starts, I'll always try to have a conversation with the girl, try to build some sort of connection or rapport, chemistry, just to make the day go by smoother, and just to make their, you know, if I could spark some passion, I'll just try to do that, you know? So it makes everyone feel more comfortable and make it feel as real as possible for them. That turns me on.
Let's break a porn scene down. In a scene, which do you enjoy the most? Oral, vag, or anal?
Probably vag. Most sensation with that. But, you know, it depends. It also depends on my mood for the day. You know, there could be like once a month where I'm like, fuck, I'm fiending for some anal sex. You know, it's not often, but, you know, I will be in that mood sometimes. But overall, on a general basis, I'd say vaginal is probably the best. If I had to pick one for the rest of my life and throw the other two away, that's what it would be.
In a scene, do you enjoy being rimmed?
No, I don't.
In a scene, what's your favorite sexual position to perform for the camera? And off camera, what's your favorite sexual position?
I would say it's the same thing. Cowgirl, like regular cowgirl, but instead of the girl just on top, just bouncing away like a fucking kangaroo, two variations of it. Either they're on top of me and they're just kind of like twerking their ass on like the first half of my cock. Or, you know, they just put their head in my chest and I just spread their cheeks and just, you know, do my own thing. I'd say that's it. Cause I get the most sensation in that. So, you know, anytime we can incorporate that is ideal.
And of course we know how a scene ends, right? With the pop shot, the money shot, the cum shot. In a scene, where's your favorite place to shoot your load?
I'd say regardless, it's the same, whether it's on or off camera. My favorite is a cream pie.
How would you describe your fuck style? How would you describe your style of fucking, your performance style when you're on camera? You know, if someone has never seen one of your scenes before, right? If someone is tuning in, they've somehow found this interview and they're getting to know Zane Walker. How would you describe your fuck style to them?
I'd say I'm vocal, I'm dominant. I fuck in a way where, you know, I try to make it as pleasurable as possible, but at the same time, it looks good for the camera so the viewer can see as much as possible, if that makes sense. And I also, when I perform, you know, this is primarily more so for the dialogue portion of the scene, I try to make it, you know, kind of amusing, right? Like with the dialogue, I'll try to, you know, if I can make it funny at any times, or just, you know, laid back and nonchalant and just amusing, you know, I try to add that in there too. So, you know, when the people are watching, they can tell it's not super serious. It's, you know, easygoing vibes, you know, very chill, very, you know, amusing, try to make them laugh and just everyone has a good time, you know. But, you know, since you're a viewer as well, and you said you've seen some of my work, how would you describe my style?
Probably the two words that pop into my mind would be erotically intense.
Erotically. Can you break that down a little bit?
I would say, you know,
there
is an eroticism that you bring in the scenes, and there's also a bit of an intensity. And so, yeah, erotically intense, I would say, is the combo word that I would use to describe your performance style.
Okay. Interesting. Good to know. Good to know.
There you go. You can use it yourself. Feel free.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Now, something that I want to ask you about is, because a lot of performers, especially when they're doing their own content, right, they love doing POV style scenes, right? Like, that's the hotness right now. Whenever people are uploading content, it's typically, not always, but I would say majority rather than not, it is a POV type of scene work, you know, where the performer's holding the camera and that kind of thing. In your opinion, as someone who does do their own content and who's uploading, you know, tries to upload as much of the hotness as you can on the various subscription-based platforms, what goes into crafting a good-looking POV scene?
When you say POV, do you mean POV of the penetration specifically?
Sort of POV in general, just in general, right? You know, it depends on, I guess, what the scene is and how long the POV aspect is used in the scene, right? You know, sometimes performers just shoot the penetration. Sometimes, you know, the entire clip that they upload is POV, right?
Yeah. No, I'm glad you asked this question, right? You know, everyone has a different brand. Everyone ideally has their own style of audience and what the audience wants to see. And every performer has, you know, preferred type of content that they want to release into the world, right? Me personally, if we're touching on POV of penetration, me personally, I try to include that in my own content as least as possible. To be transparent, I fucking hate it. You know, the reason I said nothing, not saying anything is wrong with POV, right? Everyone wants to see close-up view of penetration. They want to feel like they're really there. They want to see the actual fucking, right? And don't get me wrong, like, it's not bad. And I'll include, you know, a little bit of that in, you know, in my videos for my own content, just so, you know, I touch on it. But ideally, the POV that I try to capture, if I'm including it in a video, is, you know, as if I want the viewer to make, I want it to feel like for the viewer that, you know, they're the ones being fucked by me, right? So if I'm shooting like a boy girl scene, you know, I'll try to get maybe a minute of footage of, let's say, she's holding the camera and it's, you know, a point of view of me fucking her, and try to get it as steady as possible. So it gives the viewer the fantasy that, you know, they're the ones under me getting fucked by me. Because what I feel guys don't understand in this business is, if you're a male porn star, especially if you're doing straight porn, right? Straight porn is already, you know, primarily focused on the female. And, you know, there's no problem with that. You know, most of the viewers want to see that. But if a person is a fan of your porn as a guy, that means they're ideally a fan, you know, more so a fan of seeing you, right? So I try to tell other guys as well, you need more content that's more focused on you, right? So I try to add that into my videos because I know people want to see me as much as possible with the girl, right? So if I could get a POV of, you know, the girl holding the camera and she's holding it and I'm fucking her, and it could give the fantasy to the viewer that they're the ones under me in missionary, for example, I feel like that resonates much better with the audience than, for example, me holding the phone as just a minute of, you know, POV fucking of penetration. You know, I'm a big believer in FaceTime, especially for the guy. So anything that includes the guy's face as much as possible as well is what I think does the best for at least my audience. And I think, you know, if more guys incorporate that into their content, you know, maybe their growth could increase faster.
You are absolutely right about that. I mean, let's just be real. I mean, if you're being incredibly blunt, I mean, let's just be blunt about porn consumers, right? The majority of porn consumers, period, are men. You know, there are women that watch porn, that is a fact, but the overwhelming majority of porn consumers are men. And in that, and I feel like a lot of male performers always forget this, or at least some of them maybe intentionally forget this, out of all of the men that watch porn, yes, there are straight men that watch porn for the women, but there are also men out there, bi, gay, etc., pansexual, that watch for the man as well as for the woman, or sometimes just for the male performer. So it's really interesting that you are trying to cater to the viewer that clearly if they are subscribing to your content, I mean, they want to see you, right? I mean, that makes sense. You know, I give you props on that because I feel like a lot of male performers overlook that aspect, right? You know, they think people just want to see them fuck when in reality, you know, if someone is paying their money to subscribe to a particular male performer's original content, they want to do that to see the male performer. You know, it should be a much more exclusive feel to the content to where the performer is basically in essence catering to the fan base, right?
Exactly. Of course. Yes, exactly. Yes. Yes, very much so.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of people forget that, right?
Yeah, I mean, just look at it like this, right? If you go watch 10 professional straight studio sex scenes, right, and you watch them, I guarantee you, right, the studio or whoever the fuck edited the video is gonna take every opportunity they can to cut the guy's head out of frame if they're given the chance, just to focus more on the girl. Or even with, you know, sex stills, right? When they're taking photos for the scene, like the promo photos, I've even seen the biggest companies do this. I've seen small companies do this where, you know, both of the performers are really attractive people, the guy and the girl, but in the professional photos, the stills, you'll see the guy's head is cropped out of the photo, you know, and you'll see like a ripped body, but it's headless. And then, you know, you just see the girl, you know, with a dick in her, right? And the way I look at it, right, when I was growing up, you know, even being straight, right, it's just like what you said. I want to see the guy in the video too, you know? Like, it's not easy to get into porn as a guy, without even saying make it in porn as a guy or do well in porn as a guy. So just to get your foot through the door is, you know, a hard task to accomplish, you know? And the job is already very hard too. You know, you got to stay hard. You got to fucking come. You got to open up for the camera. You're doing all these hard things. And then the studio discredits you by cutting your head out of frame or not tagging you in a post or just, you know, there's so little focus on you. You know, that turns me off so much. And I genuinely feel bad for some of these other guys, right? Like, if they don't have their own platform, they're relying on studio work. And then they're doing all the studio work where, like, half the time, you don't even know who the fuck the guy in the video is. You know, I'm like, what kind of bullshit is this? You know, it's a good looking dude. He can stay hard. He's making the girl look good in the video. You know, it's just disrespectful for the male not to get, you know, the credit that they deserve or the face time that they deserve. You know, so when I make my own content, I try to give myself as much of the focus as possible. You know, I'll still tag the girl. I'll still give the girl FaceTime because I'm not a piece of shit. But just imagine if the roles were reversed, right? You know, it'd be like people would be fucking pissed, you know? So that's how I look at it. You know, both performers need FaceTime. Both performers need credit. Both performers need tags. So that's why I've just gotten to the point where, you know, I don't rely on studio porn anymore. I use my own content to give myself exposure, you know, and I feel like more guys should do that.
No, you're right about that. I mean, I've seen an evolution to where there is a little bit of recognition, but for the most part, you are right. You know, the male performer in particular, you know, sometimes isn't tagged in the tweets promoting the scenes. You know, they are at times, their head is chopped off. So it's just, you know, their dick, right? So I feel you. And one of the things, I mean, let's just talk about this now, right? Since we're talking about male performers and in essence representation, one of the things that I want to give you props on is the representation that you bring into the industry. Listen, I've been interviewing performers for 16 years. I've been a fan of porn pretty much since I was a teenager, right? Much like you. And I am racking my brain, man. I don't feel like, and I could be wrong, because I, even though my supporters, the listeners, followers on Twitter, all of the awesome people that are incredibly supportive, they seem to think that I know everything about the industry. I don't know everything. I mean, I do know a lot, right? In doing these interviews and all that kind of stuff. But I'm racking my brain and I'm like, I don't think there has ever been a Persian male performer in the industry? I don't think so. And if there were, they clearly have not, in the short time that you've been in the game, especially on the mainstream side, they certainly did not develop the name that you have. So props to you. I do believe representation matters. And I know a lot of people might be listening to this and they might kind of scoff at it, right? Because what are you talking about? It's porn. What does it matter? It does matter. It really does. Porn is a form of media. It is a form of entertainment. And media should represent what the world looks like. You know, just by seeing someone that looks a little different, it changes people's minds and perspectives on people in general. So I am a big believer in representation being incredibly important in the adult industry. So hat tip to you, because props to you, because I feel like you are either one of the first, if not the first, certainly the first that has achieved mainstream success and attention in the porn industry. So you get your flowers for that, man.
Dude, that, you don't understand how much that means to me, because growing up, I faced so much racism. And, you know, I don't often like to touch about this because, you know, it is a very sensitive subject. And especially getting into porn, you know, I thought, you know, it would make it more difficult for me because, you know, you'd look at porn, right? You look at the general two guys you see in porn. You see a BBC, you know, a guy with a huge cock that's black, right? Either that, or it's like a dorky looking white dude, or it's like a bald, ripped white dude. So, I mean, to generalize it, it's usually just a white dude or a black dude. You don't see often many brown people in porn having success. So, and when I first started, I was like, damn, like, you know, am I even going to be successful? Like, do people even want to see me fuck? Like, because I didn't think I had, you know, the appeal, or I didn't think I had the general niche that usually resonates with people in porn, right? So I didn't really, you know, advertise the Persianness or my ethnicity or anything like that until, you know, I met another female performer and she's like, dude, you're Persian. That's fucking awesome. Like, we haven't had anyone Persian in porn. You know, you stand out. You know, it's different. It's uncommon. She's like, you should fucking use that and run with it. And I was like, fuck, maybe she has a fucking point, you know? So once she told me that, I was like, let's get our toes wet. You know, let's start fucking advertising that I'm Persian, you know? So people just, I don't know, people actually know what I am. And if they're actually looking for diverse porn or porn with, you know, some culture in it, or, you know, something different, you know, I'll stand out, you know? So being able to do that, you know, has been so big for me, and it touches back on inspiring, you know, other people, you know, cause when I did a couple of the Brazzers scenes that were, you know, culturally and, you know, racially motivated, you know, the Southeast Asian scenes, just, you know, me playing an Arabic character, just adding more culture into porn. After I did those scenes, so many, you know, international people reached out to me like, dude, we're so fucking proud of you. Like, you're making, you know, the Middle East look good. Like, we haven't had someone who's been able to do this. Like, you know, it's just, you know, it resonates with me so much, you know, like I always was told getting into porn, like, you're a guy, you should just be happy that you're here. You get to fuck hot girls. Just, you know, be happy about that and just, you know, be grateful that you get scenes, you know? So all these guys are thinking like, you know, I should just be lucky that I'm here. I get to have sex with hot girls and get paid for it. Like, this is awesome. But that, you know, that's how they want you to think, right? But if you just fucking think outside the box and, you know, try to give yourself the focus that you deserve as a performer, and, you know, you embrace, you know, what makes you different and stand out among your peers, if you fucking run with that, then it could really pay off, you know, if you have everything else in check, right? You know how to market yourself, you know how to network, you know how to socialize, you know how to, you know, put yourself in uncomfortable situations, you know, to potentially grasp a new opportunity. You know, if more people thought like that, I feel like it would, you know, develop our industry so much more, and it'll give the guys, you know, more recognition and credibility. And, you know, I just think it would just elevate the game, you know. That's how I think, you know, but you know, to each their own.
No, but everything you said is right on the money, man. And listen, let me just say this, and I'm going to say this, and I want to preface what I'm about to say, because I don't want any of the listeners to take this the wrong way. I'm not saying this as an insult to the three performers you referenced. You know, I'm just speaking factually accurate, you know, because the three performers you referenced are legends. They are esteemed veterans in the game. They are incredible performers. But at the end of the day, you referenced three white men in the industry, right? So clearly, the diversity of the industry, you know, it's something that is ever evolving, right? Like with time, with the amount of people that are doing porn now, you know, the diversity is slowly shifting. But I'm using the three that you have picked as like the icons that you looked up to as an example, because in the future, you know, there's going to be someone, maybe right now, that is getting into watching porn. And they might be, you know, a Persian person, and they see someone that looks like them in the industry. That representation is incredibly important. And, you know, you might be that icon for them, like the trio were icons for you, right?
That's exactly what I'm trying to do every time I'm putting content out there. I want someone that maybe doesn't look like the ideal porn star or doesn't feel like they could be a porn star, even what porn star or not, you know, like if they just want to do something in their life, but they think they can't because they look different, or, you know, they're not the general, you know, whatever the commonality is in that field, if they feel like they, you know, stand out in a way that, you know, can't benefit, whatever the fuck it is. You know, it doesn't matter what you look like, doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter if you're not fucking beautiful or you have a huge dick or you're fucking ripped. All this shit doesn't matter. You know, if you just have, if you build confidence in yourself, you're just ambitious, you're relentless, and you don't give a fuck what other people think. You're bold, you're spontaneous, you're willing to take a chance and willing to take a risk for an opportunity that could pay off, can not only benefit you, but, you know, because you never know who's watching, right? It not only benefit you, but inspire someone else or resonate with someone else or even put a smile on their face to change their day, wherever in the world they are, from a video you posted or a picture you posted or something you did. This is all, you know, in the grand scheme of things, it evolves the future of not just the industry, of like, you know, other people in their lives. And that's just, it's a significant thing. And I like it. You know, you're able to reach others through what you're doing is something you're passionate about and you like doing. And, you know, when things are real, that's when it touches people the most, you know?
You are right about that, my friend. Absolutely. I'm glad we touched on this because it's incredibly important. And I feel like a lot of people don't realize how important representation and the diversity of performers in the industry actually is for the consumers and for the fans out there. All right, man. So
let's
take a shift. Let's pivot to something else. This is a question that I'm sure a lot of your hardcore fans and supporters might be curious to know. This might be the most important question for someone that's listening. How much is Zane Walker packing?
Oh, like my dick size?
Yeah.
Yeah. When I'm fully hard, it's like 7.5 inches about. That's above average in the real world, but, you know, in porn, that's not, you know, anything like, I feel like that's just enough, you know? So it's not anything extravagantly large or anything. I feel like the average porn size is probably 8.5 inches or more. You know, if you want to get recognized for having a big dick, you probably need like 8.5 or more, but yeah, I'm only like at the most, I think like 7.5. So that's why I was trying to say, like, don't think you need a monster hog to, you know, make it as a male porn star. Here, you know, there's other boxes that you can check mark that'll help you be successful, you know. Plus, most people don't even like a huge dick anyway, you know. A lot of the girls I fuck tell me like my dick's like a perfect size, you know, it feels really good, and they're able to come multiple times and they can take it multiple rounds before tapping out, you know. It doesn't hurt them, you know.
And earlier we talked about the pop shot, right? We talked about the cum shot. It's the money shot for a reason in porn. It's what everybody wants to see. So as a performer, when you know that you have to come in a scene, what do you do to prepare? Do you do anything specifically to make sure that the cum shot pops on camera?
You know, I've never really had an issue with like coming, you know. I mean, I could come multiple times in a day. That's not really a problem for me. But, you know, I do prefer the cream pies. So, you know, if I could do that with a girl on top of me, it's pretty, not too hard, you know. It's what makes it difficult is if like they want the pop shot in a position that's, you know, not ideal and maybe kind of uncomfortable for me, but it looks good for the camera. You know, it all depends on the circumstances, because a lot of the times it's not a cream pie, it's a facial, right? So I have to like come on the girl's face. So, you know, usually they'll just set that up, but yeah, I hope that answered your question.
Absolutely. All right. Now let's shift and talk about your original content. What type of content can the listeners expect to see when they subscribe?
Everything. You know, I try to appeal to as much of an audience that I can. You know, I like to make everyone feel like there's some sort of porn that I make that can cater to everyone, you know? So I touched on it earlier. I really try to focus on, you know, male-focused porn, you know? So in a lot of my videos, it's different from studio, right? Like a lot of the times in a studio scene, half the time you can't even see the guy's face. Like if you're watching one of my videos, like you will clearly know it's me for 95% of that video. You know what I mean? So yeah, very male focused. You know, I still give, you know, the girls their time of day for sure, but you know, very, very male focused if it's like a sex scene. You know, I do a lot of solo stuff too. You know, I just try to touch on, you know, all types of content that would reach all sorts of audiences. You know, I like to resonate with as many people as possible, you know?
We're going to talk about that in a moment, but before we get into that, I want to ask you, how often do you update it? Are you the type of person that updates it on a weekly basis? Do you update it multiple times a week? How often can the listeners expect an update when they subscribe?
Yeah. So my OnlyFans, I try to stay as active there as possible. So I will post full sex tapes on the wall. You know, I won't PPV a lot of my sex tapes. Like, so when people subscribe, I have like full 30-minute hour long sex tapes, you know, that are included with subscription. So I try to do a couple of those a month, and then I'll upload a lot of solo stuff, whether it's, you know, me jerking off and coming, you know, nudes, like nudes of me, or like me working out. But, you know, like I said, I always try to keep a lot of the focus on myself, because, you know, people are fans of me, right? So anything with me. So a lot of solo stuff, a lot of full sex tapes, you know, some risque stuff, you know, I try to appeal to as many people as possible. So yeah, I usually do upload to OnlyFans multiple times a week, whether it's a full video, whether it's a cum shot, whether it's like a naked selfie or like a short workout video, just, you know, something that will keep the fans engaged and no, I'm still alive, you know.
There you go. All right, so let's talk about some of this risque stuff, because I think this is incredibly fascinating what you're doing, right? Because you keep on talking about the fact that you love your fans, you know, you try to satisfy your fans as much as you can, and you fully understand that your fan base is incredibly diverse, right? If you are a male performer, you are going to have gay, bi, pansexual fans, people that support you. And at the end of the day, all of that shouldn't matter. You know, all of your fans, you should be seeing green, because those are potential, you know, people that want to support you financially and that kind of thing. And so something that you've been doing that I think is really fascinating, because I'm trying to think if other performers do something like this, and I can't really think of like anyone off the top of my head, but like you collaborate with, you know, other male performers that do, you know, gay, bi, pansexual porn, right? And you've been doing these types of scenes where, I guess for lack of a better word, they are kind of softcore, right? But they are satisfying a fan base that, you know, maybe wants to see you actually do a gay porn scene, but you are self-identifying as a straight man, right? So you aren't interested in doing that, but you are creating these scenes that kind of satiates a thirst that your fan base has to see you perform in that way with another male performer. And dude, I think it's genius. Yeah. I really do. Because number one, it satisfies what your fans want, right? What a specific segment of your fans want. It satisfies that. And it's something that other performers aren't doing, you know, whether it's just because, you know, maybe they're not comfortable or they don't want to be seen in a certain type of way, right? You know, listen, whatever their reasons are, it's their reasons. I understand it. You know, I always see tweets about performers like, I'm not going to show my butt. I'm not going to show this. I'm not going to show that, right? But you are willing to, you know, basically not cross the line, right? But you're willing to like walk up to the line, right? To satisfy the needs of your fans. And I give you props to that. Now, I know that there are probably, listen, on social media, everybody reacts to something, right? So I'm sure you have some people that maybe react negatively. I'm sure you might have some fans that are like, oh, you're gay baiting and that kind of stuff. So I want to get your take on this. This is, I guess, basically a multiple part question, right? First off, why did you decide to do these types of scenes, number one? And number two, what are your thoughts on the reaction to it? And I guess the third part would be, what's your response if you, you know, for the people out there that accuse you of gay baiting your fans with these scenes?
Look, I do not think I'm gay baiting, okay? Because I never lie about my sexuality, right? I tell everyone, you know, I'm straight, but I'll do like some slight gay stuff, like some gay for pay stuff, you know, like I'll never lie about my sexuality. I'll be very upfront and honest, you know? And what was the second thing I was going to say? Okay, yeah. So me as a person, I'm very open-minded. You know, I'm confident in my own sexuality. You know, it's hard to make me feel uncomfortable. You know what I mean? And then, you know, the other male performers that I do collabs with, you know, I'm very selective on who I do them with. And I make sure there's like a good vibe and, you know, our audiences would, you know, mesh together well, you know. So yeah, I'm confident in myself and I always like to, you know, give all types of fans content that they would enjoy, right? So even if it's not like a sex scene, right? Even if it's like me and a guy jerking off next to each other, that's a huge, even if it doesn't sound like a big deal or like some people will be like, that's gay or however the fuck you look at it, right? Like even me and a guy sitting next to each other just jerking off with each other, like so many people love to see that, even if maybe they don't say it, right? So, you know, if you're closed-minded to like sitting next to a dude and jerking off and you think that's gay, but then again, you're a male performer and you're doing DPs for a studio scene and you're rubbing cocks with another dude, like, you know, it's like, you got to look at it like that, you know, like, you know, that's a common thing, a boy girl sex scene for a studio. And a lot of the times it is a double penetration, you know, you're rubbing cocks with a dude and, you know, you're getting pretty close to the dude. Like if guys are willing to do that, but they think it's too gay to sit next to one of their friends and just jerk off, then, you know, that's their problem. You know what I mean? And, you know, like you said earlier in the interview, you know, as a male porn star, a lot of the people following you, you know, they want to see you. And if they want to see you, that means, you know, they're probably into dudes in some sort of way. So if you can just give them that straight fantasy of a straight guy, like, you know, so to say, pushing his boundaries or being open-minded with his guy friends, whether it's taking a nude or jerking off or even more so, you know, it appeals to a lot of people. You know what I mean? And, you know, I always like putting out good content and I choose wisely who I do my content with. So, you know, I don't see an issue with it, especially because I tell my fans straight up, like, hey, this is like a gay for pay video, or this is like, I'm doing this as a courtesy for you guys. You know what I mean? They know I'm straight. I don't lie about that. So, and also when I think of gay baiting, I think of people who actually, you know, pretend they're going to do gay content and they don't actually do any gay content. Like I've done some slight, you know, some slight gay content. So it's not like, you know, I just make it seem like I'm going to do it so people subscribe and there's actually nothing there, you know? So I, you know, they are getting, you know, their money's worth. So, you know, that's how I think about it, if that answers your question.
No, absolutely. I think that's basically the point of what you said. You know, if you were gay baiting, you would be posting some sort of tease, something, you would be alluding to doing something, then people subscribe or they buy the pay-per-view situation, and then bam, it's nothing, right? At least you are satisfying people by releasing content that satisfies what a certain segment of your fans want to see. And I don't think you hide the fact that, number one, you're straight, and number two, that it is, in essence, a soft core type of simulation, right? You know, it's like if people were to buy, you know, just a regular movie, right? I mean, you don't see penetration in a regular film. And so, I mean, they're getting sort of like the fantasy, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And even aside from like the sex of it, like, we'll, you know, there's other stuff that is, you know, you can see everything, like it's fully real, you know, like with the foreplay or just like, you know, just, you know, the curious type of content that, you know, some fans want to push for, you know. So, you know, they are getting real footage, you know, and it's like you said, you know, in movies, you know, you don't always see penetration, but it's still hot and you still get off to it. You know what I mean? You don't always need to see a hole being blown out. You know?
Well, there's that. Yeah. And I mean, at the end of the day, you are satisfying what a particular segment of your fans really want to see. And I get to give you props to that, man, because there aren't that many performers on the straight side of the industry that are kind of willing to go that far to satisfy the fans. Like, you don't cross the line, but some of the content, you know, just even by, via the clips that you post, I mean, you're getting damn near close to the line. And I know that the fans like react incredibly positively about it. I mean, I'm sure there are some haters, you know, there's always haters, right? But props to you for even trying to do, you know, this, I don't know what I would call it, but like this, it's certainly a new type of content that we'll see if, you know, if other performers end up adopting it as well to sort of satisfy their fans.
Yeah, you know, I don't think many other straight, you know, porn stars, guys are gonna, you know, start dabbling into that, because I just think they're maybe, they have too big of an ego, or maybe they'll be like, if I start posting, you know, a nude with a guy, maybe girls won't want to fuck me as much, or it'll affect my career. Like, you know, it's how I said earlier, you need to be bold, you need to be spontaneous, you can't care what people think. And, you know, you got to look at it like this, you cannot do that type of content, and then you're going to have to go slave studio work every day in a month and for minimal amounts of money and, you know, this and that. But, you know, to each their own, you know, people should stick with what they're comfortable with. Me personally, I think, you know, some of the stuff I post with dudes is even better than the stuff I post with girls. So, you know, and I'm a straight guy saying that. So like, why should I be closed-minded to giving that to the world just because I'm scared of some middle school fucking, that old middle school thing, like people calling you gay and you being scared about it or nervous about it or feeling degraded about it. Like, there's nothing, people like what they like, right? And people follow you because they like you. So if you're able to put out content that caters to more people and it looks good and, you know, it's hot, you know, why deprive that from the world, you know?
There you go. It adds to your buzzworthiness, right? Not only is it the representation that you bring into the industry, but it's also this creativity, right? Like, I don't know what we would call this genre. I guess maybe softcore, gay for pay, for lack of a better word. I don't know what we would call it. But at the end of the day, you're doing something different.
I mean, you gotta look at it like this, right? Like, I have a lot of friends that are gay, and, you know, their fantasy is, you know, straight guys being curious or open-minded or willing to, you know, get their toes wet. And, you know, it's just a straight guy fantasy that gays have, you know. Like, if you're able to, I don't know, dabble into it in a way that you're comfortable, that looks good, and, you know, it resonates with people, I think it's a great idea. You know, it's like how a lot of people don't do solo content. They just focus on sex tapes. It's like, that's cool and all, but like, people are fans of you. They want to see you. Like, you know, it's good if sometimes it's only you, or it's, you know, it's you with the same gender, you know, like it's a commonality, girls doing girl stuff, you know, whether it's hardcore, softcore, foreplay, risque photos, whatever the fuck it is. I think it should be normalized that guys could do content too, even if it's not sex, you know, like just nude modeling in itself is a big thing. You don't even have to jerk off with the guy. You don't have to kiss him. You don't have to suck him. You don't have to fuck him. Just, you know, if it looks hot, and like, you know, you should be open-minded to it, you know?
There you go. Know? And as I was saying, you know, it adds to your buzzworthiness, Zane Walker.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about this. This is something that I'm curious to pick your brain about. So far in the time that you've been in the business, who have been some of your most favorite performers to work with?
My most favorite performers to work with? Like, just purely on a physical level, or just, you know, and all, like, what specifically? Because, you know, people have strengths and weaknesses, you know, there's things that stand out about some person that, you know, it's different from another person, you know?
Honestly, I like how you're breaking it down already. Feel free to break it down however you want, from a purely physical level, from a friendship level, camaraderie level, however you want to do it.
Girls, I'm guessing.
That's up to you. It's your answer.
Here's something funny, you know, even though I primarily work with girls, and, you know, obviously, you know, I prefer to, you know, be with a girl sexually. I actually prefer collabing with guys because they're way less stressed, and, you know, they're less flaky. They're more, you know, I've noticed they're more about their business. They're more, you know, serious about getting good work done, and it's, you know, more easygoing vibes, you know. But, you know, if we're talking about sexually, man, I don't know. I've worked with a lot of girls, and honestly, I would feel bad if I said one girl's name and another girl's, and not another girl's name. So I'm not going to say any names, but, you know, you could just, I'll just say this. If I've personally posted them on my page, whether it's like Twitter or Instagram or Pornhub, you know, it's something I'm proud of, right? So I'll just leave it at that. If you see them on my page, then it's something that I like doing, or I'm proud of the footage, or I had a good experience, usually.
All right. So as a follow-up, since you said that you seem to have a much more chill time working with the male performers, who are some of your favorite male performers to collaborate with?
Probably like Drake Vaughn. He's a good friend of mine. We're very similar people, you know. We always make good footage, good content together, whether it's a picture or a video, whatever it is, always does well with him too. Yeah, it's just easygoing, and, you know, he's younger than I am. He's a few years younger than I am, but, you know, even with his young, you know, youth, I'd say, you know, his marketing and all his other, you know, attributes are very, like, beyond his years, and I'm, you know, very impressive, you know? So I'd say Drake's probably my favorite guy to work with. Girl, fuck, dude, I gotta think. The girl's tough, man. I don't want to make one, you know, type of way, so.
No, I feel you. Shout out to Drake Vaughn, though. He's on my list of people to interview. Yeah. He's incredibly buzzworthy as well.
Yes. No, for sure. Yeah, everything that I've posted with Drake, I think is in the millions on Twitter. Just itself on Twitter is in the millions, like anything I've posted with him. Anything I post on OnlyFans with him does well. So, you know, the conversion is there. And, you know, he's a good friend of mine. It's nothing is forced. It all feels natural. If, you know, it's also fun. You gotta remember, like, if you're making porn, like, it's gotta be fun. If it feels too much like a job, then, you know, people can see from your, you know, body language and aura on camera if you're into it or not. And if it seems like you're not into it, it's not gonna do well, because, you know, it doesn't look real, you know.
You are right about that. I feel like a lot of performers forget that we as fans, as consumers, as viewers, we can tell when you're not having fun, when you're not having a good time, when you're not enjoying yourself. So you are right about that. Exactly. Now,
that's another reason why I'm really selective on the studio work, you know?
Mm-hmm. I feel you. Yeah. You know, because you're paired up with someone and you have no idea if you're going to vibe and if the scene's going to turn out good, right?
I mean, there's a lot of things that go into it, you know? It's like, is it worth doing the studio scene, you know? I'm a big believer in quality over quantity, right? Like, I have friends that think the ways, like, I got to do as many studio scenes as possible, you know? I'm like, if you feel like that's your best route of approach, you do that. I personally like quality over quantity. I'd rather do 20, like, very good scenes, reputable, credible scenes with good companies and good talent and works that I'm proud of, compared to, like, I don't know, 100 fucking, you know, scenes I did just to do, you know what I mean? Like, if you're just doing it just to do it, like, what's the point, you know? Like, it's got to be worth, you know, worth putting that content out there, you know?
Absolutely. Now let's work on the power of manifestation. You're really good at that, right? Because we manifested this interview, you know, a year ago, right? In a very strange, weird kind of way that we discussed at the start of this interview. So let's manifest in a different way. Who have you not worked with? Who would you love to do a scene with? Who is on your wish list? Let's manifest. Let's put this out into the universe and let's make some magic happen. Who would you love to do a scene with?
Who would I love to do a scene with? I'll just start naming off girls that I haven't worked with that I'd be open to the idea of it. I've talked to a few of these girls, so I know some of them are down. Just scheduling hasn't aligned up, but I want to do a scene with Kendra Lust. We were supposed to do one, I think, like a month or two ago. Scheduling didn't work out, so we're trying to reschedule that. See Anya Olsen, Naomi Swan, Ryan Reed. Who else performs still? Because some of the girls that I used to watch don't do porn anymore, so I'm trying to think of who's active that I really want to fuck. Man, I know I mentioned maybe a handful of names. Who else? Fuck. A lot of the Spiegler girls are hot. I mean, I'd be open to working with them if, you know, there's good chemistry and, you know, passion there. I've worked with a few of them. You know, they're nice. Thank you. Know, Angela White would be great. I don't know how I forgot to say her name. Let's see. I've worked with a couple of the contract stars for Brazzers. Want to work with all of them. You know. Yeah. I mean, anyone who's, you know, I know is doing this because, you know, for the right reasons. You know, that's the type of people you make good porn with. You know. So I'll think of that as you keep, you know, asking me questions. If more names come to mind, I'll mention them. But off the top of my head, I think I gave you a handful.
One thing that I do want to ask you about, as, you know, someone who's fresh-ish, right, in the industry, someone who has been a little over a year doing the mainstream stuff, but has done amateur stuff and that kind of thing. I want to get your take on testing in the industry. This is a question that I used to ask performers all the time when I started interviewing performers, just because I feel like a lot of casual viewers, you know, they watch porn, but they don't really think about testing. They don't think about performers and how often they get tested, how much money it costs, and this, that, or the other. And so I used to ask this question a lot, and then I kind of stopped asking it because I felt like I had asked it enough, right? Like, I had asked everybody that I'd interviewed every single time, you know, let's talk about testing. And recently, when I went to Exotica Miami over the summer, you know, some of the performers were like, you need to start asking about testing again, because with this influx of people that are joining the industry, especially, you know, people that are doing all of the subscription-based stuff, you know, the OnlyFans, loyal fans, the people that are doing the a la carte stuff with many vids and this, that, or the other. A lot of the new people that are joining the industry, they don't understand the testing protocol like the established people in the game. So I want to give you a chance just to break it down for the listeners. Talk to me about testing. How often do you get tested? How much money does it cost to get tested? And all that kind of stuff. Just the important thing that people should know, because I feel like a lot of the viewers, and maybe even the newer you know, content creators and that kind of thing, they don't realize, you know, how important testing is in the industry.
Yeah. So with testing, it's a 14-day requirement for testing for professional work. And if you just buy one test for that 14 days, I believe it's like anywhere from like $200 to $300, depending where you test. I have a pass, a subscription pass with one of the testing facilities. So I pay $400 a month. And then obviously, you know, it's a 14-day requirement. So get tested about twice a month. And it's, if as long as I'm in the right place, I could use my, you know, my subscription, my monthly subscription, then it's $400 a month and it's twice a month. And you do swabs, you do blood, you do urine. And yeah, no, the testing's pretty, it's very important, you know, like if you catch something, you know, you're out of work for at least 2 weeks because you got to take antibiotics and you got to get your health back. So it's pretty serious, you know. So I personally, I don't really have, you know, random sex because if hypothetically I was to catch something, then I'm out of work for, you know, about 2 weeks and that's, you know, it's a long time. So the testing is very important. It's not just you're just out here just fucking everyone raw and it's, you know, life, sunshine and rainbows, you know, you gotta stay up to the date with the testing. The testing's kind of expensive. So you gotta make sure you're making it worth your while. So yeah, you know, gotta make sure you stay up to date with that.
I appreciate that, man. Yeah. I feel like that's important information, especially for people that want to enter the industry and that, you know, want to upload their own content, that kind of stuff. If you want to work with established talent, hell, if you want to work with fellow content creators, you need to have a recent an accurate test.
Yeah, it's not just you can't just go to your doctor, you know, with your insurance and, you know, pay $20 and just get tested. Like, you know, that might work in the real world, but like if you're talking to like a real porn star, they're like, you know, you can only get your test from a couple of specific places, and you know, those ones are, you know, pretty, you know, specific. So
yeah, you're right about that.
Yeah.
The other thing that I want to pick your brain on is this genre in porn that has taken over, right? The entire step genre, you know, whether it's stepbrother, stepmother, stepsister, stepcousins, stepgrandma. I mean, there is a step situation in the business. And it, I mean, it's everywhere. Like all of the major studios are doing it. I know that you've done a couple of that work. So I just want to get your take on it as a performer.
Yeah.
Is it strange? Is it weird? Yeah. The first time that you did it, was it comical to you? Like when you have to read these lines, your take on the step genre as a performer?
You know, I love when you can make porn amusing and you can, you know, have a laugh during it, or, you know, make it a little trolly. You know, I think that makes it so much more hilarious and fun, and, you know, adds good spirits to it. You know, when I was growing up, I always thought the step fantasy was hot because, you know, when you're growing up as a teenager and you're full of hormones and fucking horny all the time, like you'd be thinking, you're like, damn, like if I had a hot stepsister that wasn't blood related to me, like, and I could like potentially fuck her, like, and, you know, you're going to try not to get caught and it has to be like a secret and, you got to be sneaky about it. Like all that, you know, adds to the arousal and fantasy, right? You know, so growing up, I thought it was hot. So I'm sure people still do think it's hot. You know, do I still think it's hot? No, because I'm, you know, an adult and I'm desensitized to porn. But, you know, when I was growing up and I was thinking about it, it was hot. So I could see how it appeals to people. You know, I've done a lot of the step porn, you know. You know, it is what it is, you know. You know, as long as the only thing I don't like about the step porn is a lot of the companies who shoot it don't like any kissing involved. It's just strict penetration, which I'm not a fan of personally. But yeah, I mean, it makes sense why it does so well, you know. So that's my thought on it, if it answers your question.
It did. All right, Zane. So as we start wrapping things up, I have this list of pop culture oriented questions that are designed to allow the listeners and your fans to get to know some of your favorites. So the first question in this set is, what are five of your most favorite television shows?
It's funny. I don't watch TV. I don't even have TVs in my house, if I'm being honest with you. I think watching TV is usually like a waste of time. If I do want to watch something, you know, and I'm like done with all my important tasks of the day and it's like, you know, I'm at home and I'm comfortable, like before bed, I'll watch some stuff on my phone. But with the TV shows, I'm going to be honest, I don't even have TVs in my house. I'm usually always go, go, go. I don't like to be in my house if I don't have to. So I don't think that one applies to me. However, in the past, when I used to watch TV a lot, I'd say my favorite show is probably like Dexter. I'm very into like criminal psychology and, you know, just psych in general. So that very intrigued me and enticed me. I've watched that a couple times, but, you know, as of recent, I don't really watch much TV.
Who are four of your all-time favorite music artists?
Music artist. All time is tough, right? Because I go through stages of what I like. I can tell you really what I've been listening to a lot. I listen to a lot of like Evanescence, Breaking Benjamin, 3 Days Grace, kind of that type of genre, like that hard rock type of like amp up music. You know, I listen to that a lot. It hasn't always been like that. I go through phases in my life of what I like to listen to, but I would say those are like my most listened to at the moment.
What are three of your most favorite films?
Favorite films? I have to ponder on this a little bit. I don't really watch films or something, honestly. So I can't really answer that question, you know? I'm a very like outgoing person. So, you know, the type of thing where you're just sitting at home, just watching, like, you know, getting a lot of screen time is not, you know, something I do. What I do watch the most, and it's once a week, is UFC fights. I do like watching UFC fights. And then I do occasionally watch the NBA if it's, you know, a competitive game. You know, I'll watch sports, but, you know, sitting around watching TVs and movies, unless I'm having like a movie night with a girl or something, you know, it's not typically what I do.
What are two foods you can't live without?
Two foods I can't live without. I'm going to say chicken and I'm going to say rice. Chicken and rice, yeah.
And what is one of your guilty pleasures?
One of my guilty pleasures, yeah. I'm going to be honest, I have a really bad sweet tooth. You know, when it's late night hours, I crave sugar and it's bad. Like, even though you probably look online, I'm all ripped up and stuff. And, you know, I talk about being healthy and this and that, which I do fully believe in and endorse. You know, it's tough, but I do have a sweet tooth and sometimes it is hard not to get into it, you know.
I feel you. But I mean, listen, it's a testament to your workout regimen and that kind of stuff. I mean, you can, you know, binge a little bit with the sweets, but still have a good physique because you are consistent in what you're doing, you know, to make sure the body's tight, right?
Of course. Yes, of course. That's what goes with the main focused porn, you know, like if the porn is going to be focused on you as the guy, like you got to give them something to look at, whether it's veins, abs, muscles, you know, moaning, groaning, you know, nice hair, whatever the fuck it is, you know.
There you go.
It's got to make sense. It's got to make sense.
Tell me something quirky about yourself that most people don't know. Something unique about Zane Walker.
Something quirky about myself. I'm good at math, I guess. That answers. Like, I'm really good with numbers. I don't know if that's a good response, but fuck. I'm addicted to caffeine. That's another one. I'm always pretty caffeinated, you know. If that gives you an idea of how it is to be around me, I'm very upbeat and, you know, ready to get stuff done and be productive and have things to look forward to, you know.
Describe yourself in 10 words or less.
All right. I'm gonna say this humbly, okay? Because, like, I don't want people to think I'm cocky. I'd say charismatic, charming, funny, outgoing, bold, spontaneous, confident. How many words is that?
That's 7.
And you need 10, right?
10 or less. It's up to you.
Ambitious, relentless, disciplined, motivated. That's 11. But those are a solid 11.
That works. What's next for Zane Walker? What's coming up in the near future? What's coming up in the next couple weeks, the next couple months? What should the listeners be expecting from you? What should they be anticipating? What can you tease them?
Yeah. So there's one thing on my calendar at the moment that I'm really looking forward to. It's happening next month. Hope nothing happens to alter that. But next month, I'm going to Florida. I'm going to collab with Alina Angel. She's a very big Arabic content creator. She does pro porn too, but you know, she's known for her own platforms. And I think that's going to be a fucking monster collab because we both have big, you know, international audiences that I feel will resonate very well with each other. And we both have, you know, I have an aggressive fucking style and she likes that. She likes it aggressive and dominant. And just the way we both fuck, I feel, you know, not just the fucking, you know, just our personalities and our audiences and everything we bring to the table will mesh together very well. And I think, you know, once the, any of our content gets pushed out, I think it's going to do fantastic, you know.
Definitely, man. Yeah, that sounds really exciting. Two erotically intense people together making magic.
Yeah. And, you know, people like when we speak other languages in our videos. So I think that's going to, you know, do very well as also.
How can your fans reach you? Where can they find you on the web, social media, all of the important links, as well as where they can get your original content? Where can they download and subscribe? Give them all the goodies.
Yeah, of course. So my OnlyFans is Zane Walker, no spaces. My Pornhub, I've been actually uploading my own videos very frequently recently. So if for some reason you're, you know, you don't have, you know, $15 to spare for an OnlyFans subscription, you can go on Pornhub, type in Zane Walker, and I've been uploading a lot of full, consistent, recent, good boy-girl videos. So you can see those on Pornhub. My Twitter is Zane Walker XXX. And then my Instagram is not Zane Walker _. Yeah. So Instagram, Twitter, OnlyFans, Pornhub. Yeah. Those are my four main social medias. So yeah. OnlyFans Zane Walker, Pornhub Zane Walker, Zane Walker XXX on Twitter, and not Zane Walker _ on Instagram. And if you have a Brazzers membership, I have a lot of good videos that I've released with them and Reality Kings this last year. So if you want to see studio work, you know, you get my best is through Brazzers and Reality Kings.
Well, this does bring us to the end of our interview. Is there anything that you would like to say to your fans and supporters that are tuning in?
I mean, well, yeah, I love all of my followers and supporters, and I don't just look at them as, you know, admirers. I look at them as individuals, you know. That's why I feel I've been able to grow at the rate that I have. And, you know, yeah, aside from being a performer and, you know, being objectified for sex, I feel a big part of this journey is the your own personality and your own charisma and your own aura and how you carry yourself. All those things, you know, adds to what fans are able to receive from you. So that's another part of my content that I'm trying to focus on is, you know, connecting with all, you know, all the people who follow me in a way that's not just sexually oriented. You know, they're able to connect with me on a different level as well, whether it's fitness, whether it's, you know, inspiration, motivation, you know, health, diet, you know, if they're just following me, you know, to try to, you know, adapt themselves better, whatever it is, I just want to reach and inspire as many people as possible, regardless of gender, race, sexuality, any of that thing, because, you know, everyone matters. It doesn't matter what you look like or, you know, what you're packing or, you know, anything else. It just, it matters if you're, you know, if you're there and you want to be there, you know?
I love the sound of that, man. Very nice. And I certainly want to thank you so much for the interview, Zane. It took us a year to make it happen, but I'm so glad we got the chance to make this happen.
Yeah, no, me too. Thank you. Thanks for having me, for sure.
You're welcome. And the door is open for more. Whenever you want to come back to update the listeners on what you've been up to, if you want to announce something or plug something, if you got, you know, the next hotness that's dropping, you have an open invitation. Whenever you want to come back, you know, just let me know and we'll make another interview happen.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I will take you up on that.
Fantastic. I love the sound of that. And listeners, also want to thank you for tuning into One-on-One with Poppy Chulo. Before we go, here's our announcer to remind you on how you can interact with us.
Thank you for downloading One-on-One with Poppy Chulo. Here are a few helpful reminders. For more information on One-on-One with Poppy Chulo, visit poppychuloradio.com/afterdark. Follow Poppy Chulo on Twitter at twitter.com/poppychulo1on1. That's at Poppy Chulo. The number one. The word on. And the number one. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/poppychuloradio. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/poppychuloradio. Do you have any questions, suggestions, comments, or concerns? Email us via contact@poppychuloradio.com. Are you interested in joining the Poppy Chulo Radio team as an on-air personality? Email talent@poppychuloradio.com. Binge listen to your favorite Poppy Chulo Radio programs by visiting poppychuloradio.com/archives. Back to you, Poppy Chulo.
Thanks, announcer. And with that, Zane Walker and I would like to wish you and yours a wonderful night. Good night, listeners.
Good night, listeners.
Let's go.
Thanks for listening to One-on-One with Poppy Chulo. To contact us with any of your questions, suggestions, comments, or concerns, email us at contact@poppychuloradio.com. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter by going to twitter.com/poppychuloradio. And like us on Facebook by visiting facebook.com/poppychuloradio. Be sure to listen again next week as we continue to showcase exclusive interviews with some of the adult industry's most popular male performers. This is Ben Patrick Johnson saying good night and have a wonderful week.